This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Hi, this is Debbie, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help you with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. And I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
Yeah, we can also send you samples, fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, no pressure, no hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Oh, okay, whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 40% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Want to grow your business fast? With TikTok ads, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
Terps in Florida tomorrow night, 7:39. Our coverage begins here on the Team 980 at 7 o'clock. That's the second of the first two games, the early games, two more late and then four more on Friday night. Chris Spitola covers college basketball, has called games for ESPN and Sirius XM. He was a college player at Army. He was on Coach K's staff at Duke for some of those really good teams. And I remember those teams and many of the games that they played against Maryland during that era in the late 2000s into the early 2010s. He joins us right now. I want to start with Maryland. We'll get to Duke and the rest of them. But what kind of shot do you give them against Florida tomorrow night?
Yeah, I think I give them a shot. I mean, I think they're feeling really good about themselves. You know, how you manage this week coming off of the euphoric win that was the other day, I think will be interesting. The fact that you're playing a team that has two bigs. I mean, these are one of the few teams, good teams, that are actually playing two bigs up front. You know, and so I think that front court matchup, where a lot of teams have not been able to match Florida in terms of size on the interior, you know, obviously Maryland is able to do that. Can they do it without fouling? I think is big. You know, I'm not telling you something you don't know, but obviously right. Maryland's bench is not—it's not nearly as deep as Florida's. And so, if it's a physical game, can Maryland stay out of foul trouble, or is Florida able to get to Maryland's bench? And then their guards—I mean, you know the story, Kevin. Like Florida's guards, the best trio of guards in the country, and you know, are Jacoby Gillespie, you know, Rodney, Selton Miguel. Like, are these guys up to the task? Can they take care of the basketball? And can they step in? And I know Maryland's not a volume three-point shooting team. They shot a good percentage this year. When they get looks, can those guys step in and make shots? So I think from a talent perspective, they certainly have it within that group of five they play. Just a matter of holding your own on the glass, taking care of the ball, you know, the normal stuff, taking care of the ball. And then when you have an open look, they're going to have to step down. And I think they're going to have to shoot a good percentage from three.
I'm curious because I was talking to Chris Nockey, who does the games with Johnny Holiday on radio, about, you know, some of these Sweet 16 venues and some of the truly early games. Like Maryland's playing in San Francisco, where the game's going to start at 4:39, you know, local time. Traffic's an issue there. And in a lot of these games that we see when we get to the, you know, first round, second round as well, but the Sweet 16 sites, especially West Coast early, tends to be kind of sterile environments, weird, you know, compared to what these players are used to playing in during the course of the year. at Duke, when you were, you know, on Kay's staff, I would imagine that the arena that you guys played in, no matter where it was in the NCAA tournament, was always packed and ready to go because of what a national kind of brand and following Duke was. Did you ever experience the half-empty arena in the tournament?
Yeah, it's funny you bring that up, Kevin. So the year we lost to Lehigh in 2012,
yeah,
CJ McCollum just went balls deep on our team. We got to the, now that was different because it was obviously we lost in the first round that year, and it was the first game of the night session, and so they change over the venues. You know, after the afternoon session, they clear the building. And
right,
we were warming up in an empty building. And to your point about our Duke teams, like, that was unusual for us. Whereas for Lehigh, it wasn't unusual. Like, they're used to playing in front of 50 people. And so,
yeah,
look, it's not an excuse. We obviously should have still beat them, and they had the best player on the floor and all of that. But those dynamics, you bring up a very good point. Those dynamics are in play. And it's not just the venue, the you know, the crowd, all of that. It's everything this week in the lead up to a Sweet 16, like, everything gets doubled, whether it's ticket requests, all your friends wanting to be more friendly with you, whether it's media obligations, it's just the attention. There's only 16 of these teams left. And so this gets ramped up in terms of the attention, especially when you get on site. There's more media obligation. There's just so much more involved that if you're going through it for the first time, that's where it can start to be drinking from a fire hose. And so you bring up a great point, managing all of the external stuff and keeping the main thing, and all that coach speak, it becomes even more of a reality the later you get into the tournament.
You know, one of the topics that's come out of opening weekend here is kind of the demise of the mid-major, right? Because of Portal, there's a lot of reasons why. You guys, and look, I followed, you know, your teams as much as I followed all the other ACC teams when we were in the ACC, but you played a national championship game against a mid-major at the time in Butler, which was an incredible game. By the way, who almost made the half-court shot at the buzzer? Was that Hayward?
Yeah, it was Gordon Hayward.
Yeah. Do you give me your reasons and project what it will look like moving forward, this tournament and the mid-major presence in it?
Yeah, I think, first of all, we overreact every year to the tournament, and part of it is most people watching the tournament don't watch the regular season. And so
true,
we drive so many referendums about the sport. And everybody, it's like everybody's looking for why should I watch college basketball? And so, like, there's this high standard that college basketball has to reach. If it's not one thing, it's another, you know, that people are complaining. If we had six mid-majors in the Sweet 16, people would be complaining about, anyway, you know, don't know any of these players' names, et cetera.
The ratings are through the roof, apparently, through the first weekend, you know,
and
it's,
you know,
the chalkiest we've seen in forever.
And you know why that is, Kevin? Because we have brand names in the Sweet 16.
Yeah.
That's exactly why. And that's why I never, you know, have this bleeding heart for the mid-majors. Look, do I like to see some upsets? Yeah. But for the health of the sport, the field that we have is going to drive much higher ratings than if we had FAU or San Diego State in this event. The other thing, like, you have to remember, and I'm sure you've covered this before, but, like, Arizona was in the Pac-12 a while ago. BYU was in the WCC. Houston was in the AAC in 2023. So you have two of these teams in the Sweet 16 that were, quote-unquote, mid-major teams only a couple years ago. And then the last thing that I would add is, in terms of this being cyclical, there are so many more players now that, you know, Colorado State, was a buzzer beater away from being in the Sweet 16. Like, one bounce or two bounces in the other direction, and you've got a couple mid-majors in this field. So I just, you know, I'm not going to overreact. I don't think anybody else should. This could certainly change next year, and I don't think it's time. 1 year does not make a trend. I don't think it's time to overreact. you know, with any sweeping referendum on the sport, given the field we have this year.
No, but you are 100% right, because, and by the way, this goes back to even when people did watch regular season college basketball and didn't treat it as a 1 month out of the year sport. And that is, we love the buzzer beaters on Thursday afternoon when you're at a sports bar and people are going nuts. But when you get to the Sweet 16 and you got Florida Atlantic and San Diego State and, you know, all these teams, that's not necessarily, you know, one or two of them out of 16 is fine, but really the brand names drive it. By the way, Chris, you know, the other thing, and I just thought of it, the other reason that the numbers are way up this year compared to last year is no Caitlin Clark in the women's draw. Remember, the women's tournament last year outrated in a couple of the big rounds, the men's tournament. So I don't think the women's tournament is drawing attention away from the men's tournament like it did last year. I would bet that that's part of it.
Yeah, I think that's a solid theory. I also don't see it as a zero sum game. I think those numbers were so astronomical that women's basketball, while the game is growing, I don't think anybody with, at least me, I'll speak for myself, I'd never thought that the sport was going to reach those numbers. And I do think if you look at men's basketball numbers during the regular season, Kevin, on FS1, on ESPN, those numbers have gone up gradually. Last year, a little bit down for ESPN, but the year prior, they were up year over year. So I just think it's live sports and the way that we're consuming live sports, and people, whether it's gamble, whether it's, you know, it's an aggregate of a lot of things. I do think these numbers are, look, they're not, this is not football. They're not increasing to that rate necessarily, but they have gone up gradually over the last handful of years.
Talking to Chris Spitola, he calls games for ESPN and Sirius XM and was part of Coach K's staff for many years at Duke. So I think they look like the best team in the draw. Do you, Duke?
It's hard to tell. Like, here's the question I have with them. I mean, they look the part, obviously. Here's the question. Like, they were the only one seed in the first two rounds who did not play a close game. All those other one seeds were tested in their second round games. Duke was not. And Duke was not tested during the regular season in an ACC that is very down, as bad as it's been in 50 years.
Yep.
The question after the first two rounds, like, is Duke in fact that dominant? Like, are they a UConn from last year? Remember, UConn won every game by double figures, was never challenged. Is that Duke this year? I don't think so, but it could be. It could be why they've dominated. I just don't know. Like, the thing I want to see is when they go up against an athletic, physical, most likely SEC team, whether it's, you know, and I actually think BYU is going to beat Alabama, but say it's Alabama in the Elite Eight,
yeah,
a Tennessee, or, you know, ultimately if they end up getting to an Houston, an Auburn.
Okay.
What does Duke do against a team like that? You know what I mean? Like, we saw the impact that an 18-game SEC schedule had on Arkansas when it played the bully from the Big East this year in St. John's. There was no back down. And so the length and the elite defense of Duke and the special player and Flag and how good Duke is and all of that, how does that stand up to just a physically, athletically imposing SEC team that they might face? That's the one test I think I want to see Duke, you know, have to face.
I think that makes a lot of sense because they didn't see it in the ACC. But you mentioned the SEC teams. If there's a Final Four matchup against Houston, Houston's the same thing. I mean, that is a physical test.
No question. And the way that they defend is something Duke has never seen. I mean, that's where I think Purdue in this game, this Sweet 16 game, is going to have problems.
Yep.
When your best player is Braden Smith, and so much of your offense is a two-man game between Smith and Trey Kaufman-Wren, Houston ain't going to allow that. Like, there's just no way they're going to sit back and let you do that. It's the same thing with Duke. Houston is going to make life for a Cooper Flag. They have the ability to do that. They're physical. They're athletic. They look like an SEC team. So your point is well taken.
And by the way, I agree with you on BYU. Alabama actually doesn't really guard, and your Purdue point is such a good one. I think they're going to really struggle with Houston, even though I think you got a matchup of coaches that is just outstanding in that game. Back to Duke, though, for a moment. So you've been a part of it, and you've watched a lot of it. How good is Cooper Flagg?
He's the best freshman I've seen them have. And that would include Zion, that would include Bancaro. I mean, the ones of recent vintage. He's the best freshman I've seen them have. I caveat that. I was there in 2011 when we had Kyrie Irving. He was the most physically gifted I've ever seen. But obviously only played 11 games, 8 before he got hurt.
Right.
Not a full sample size. To do it over the course of a full season, I would have liked to have seen that. So I'd put Kyrie in that same category. But Cooper's the best. And frankly, where I give him the edge over Kyrie, because let's just call the talent, they're different players, but let's call the talent a wash. The thing that separates Cooper are those winning intangibles, that players of his caliber, his level, players who have been anointed for, you know, since they were 14 years old, they don't have those winning intangibles, the effort, the willingness to play competitively, the unselfishness, the willingness to do what the right basketball play is, all of those intangibles that you know we talk about, that's what Cooper Flagg has. And for a player of that level, who's been in the spotlight for that long, who could basically, I mean, he could take any shot he wants on the floor at any given point in the game, and what's John Shire going to do? Nothing you can do as a coach. And yet your best player is your most unselfish, your hardest worker, your hardest playing dude, your most competitive. That's the impact that it trickles down. And then you have another freshman in Knipple who is the same way when it comes to those winning intangibles. So that's what Flagg is, and that's why, to me, he's the best freshman I've seen them have. And you know, I was there at Duke when we had the Kyries and the Austin Rivers, and he was, to me, he was more impactful than even both of those guys.
Chris, because Washington has a chance, you know, to end up with the number one overall pick, I mean, just what is your hunch? Is he a transformational, transcendent, you know, player that will change an organization for the next decade plus or not?
Yeah, he's going to change an organization culturally for there's no question, just for all of the things that I just talked about. I mean, it's the reason. It's a little bit like Nikola Jokic, different players, obviously, and I'm not saying that Flagg is of the statistical impact yet that Jokic is, but the thing that transformed Denver with Jokic is that, again, it gets back to the point when your best player is the most unselfish guy, is the best teammate, is the hardest worker, is the guy who comes out of a game with scratches and scars all over his body. That's going to change a culture. Everybody else within that organization has to fall in line. And that's the impact that Cooper Flagg is first and foremost going to have. And then the versatility. I mean, you can use him if you need a stretch four, he's your stretch four. If you need a point guard, he's played point guard this year for Duke, he'll do that. If you need him, you know, you get the point. He's just, yep. There's a universal impact both in the clubhouse, so to speak, and on the floor that Flagg's going to have that you just don't get from that level of talent.
Talking to Chris Spatola, ESPN, Sirius XM. I'll come back to the tournament in a moment, but why did the portal open this week? I know it's a week later than last year, but why are they doing this to the time of the year in which their sport's being paid attention to the most?
You know, if you go back, and I don't tweet a lot, and I'm not. This is not an advertisement for Twitter or X because I think it's poison. So, yeah. But if you go back in my timeline, and you won't have to go far because again, I don't tweet much. I tweeted last year, why in the world are we opening the portal the Monday after Selection Sunday? So I've been on this for a long time, which is to say I don't have an answer to your question. This is what the NCAA does, though. Instead of making a sweeping change, what they do is they take steps incrementally. There's a larger conversation to be had about why we're in this state with the portal and with NIL. It's because the NCAA for so long refused to take those incremental steps. But even now, over the last handful of years, they, instead of sweeping change, we're going to take incremental steps along the way, and you end up with the same problem that you're having. So my point is, last year, the change they made was, instead of changing it to after the NCAA tournament, we took an incremental step. We went from the Monday after Selection Sunday to now. And what does it continue to do? It continues to punish teams that are still in the tournament, that are having great seasons. That's the biggest problem, is that you're punishing these teams. I mean, that's why Tom Izzo goes on that rant.
Yeah.
Because instead of preparing his team, they get back on a Sunday, and his assistant coaches say to him, "Coach, the portal's open tomorrow. We got to move here." And he's like, "What the hell? We're still." It just punishes teams that are still playing, and I think that's the biggest crime in all of it.
Yeah, it was a great rant, Denton. Make a note of that, because I meant to mention that to you before the show, to get Izzo's, you know, 4-minute rant on the portal opening, essentially saying, you know, come on, I have a responsibility to focus on the team that I'm coaching right now in its most important game of the season. It's insane that the portal's opening. And, you know, you talked about the incremental step, and they don't take the big step. They just kind of figure it out very slowly. There's got to be a reason. Somebody's got a reason for why it was this part of the calendar to begin with. And I would imagine it's because you need clarity on your roster, you know, before you get to, you know, a certain point. Anyway, let's get back to the actual games. So of these 8 Sweet 16 games, and I think you've already kind of given me your answer in terms of a game that would be, you know, construed as an upset, I'm guessing that you really like BYU more than any other of the lower-seeded teams over higher-seeded teams?
Yeah. Yeah, I like that game. Now, I'm not – I actually have Texas Tech beating Arkansas, so I was going to – you know, you could throw that as a potential. All these others, I'm calling, you know, generally a wash. Although Maryland, you know, if they were to beat Florida, obviously that would be given the way that Florida came into the tournament, that would be a big one. But the one that I would pick would be BYU, yeah, over Alabama.
Why? Tell me why BYU. I mean, I've watched enough of them over the last month, not before then, but why BYU? Impressive win over Wisconsin.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I had their win at Arizona when, you know, that bad call that ended that game, and then I had their double overtime win at Iowa State. There were not two wins on the road. There were not two tougher wins I saw a team have all season, games that I called or not. So, and the point being, there's a toughness to this BYU team, and I'll give you an example. Like, the assumption is that BYU pace and space, shoot a lot of threes, live and die by the three. They shoot a lot of threes, but teams to this point in the season are endeavoring to run them off of the three-point line. BYU's response to that is, okay, we'll beat you from two. And what they're doing, and what I don't think a lot of people would expect, is they are winning the physical. So they're winning the paint, and their two games just in this tournament, they are plus 28 in the paint, dominating the paint. They are plus 18 on the glass, so they're dominating the rebounding. They have 27 offensive rebounds in the two games, and they're winning the three free throw line. So, like, those would be the three physical, statistical categories that you would look at. They're winning the paint, they're winning the glass, and they're winning the free throw line. You win those three categories, it don't matter whether you make 7 threes, like they did against VCU in the first game, or 12 threes, like they did in the second game against Wisconsin. They can beat you in a lot of different ways. And that's where I think they'll be fine against an Alabama team that, as we know, is volume threes, or they're trying to score at the rim. And it's been difficult. It has been difficult to score at the rim against BYU. They're winning the battle in the paint, and that's why I like BYU to beat Alabama.
You know, when in talking, you called a great game, and then they beat Iowa State again in the Big 12 tournament, 96-92. I mean, they can really score, but it makes that Big 12 title game loss by 20 to Houston. Houston held them to 54 points. It really makes you think that this Houston team, you know, they lost to Duke with the injury in that game that they had last year. Houston is... I mean, that's an unbelievable win over a team that basically averages 85 points a game to hold them to 54.
Yeah, well, and that's where it gets back to 2 points. First of all, Houston does schematically things that most teams can't do. Two to the ball, run you off the three-point line. You're like, they're going to turn you over, all those things. And then this winning the physical, like winning, you know, the glass, the paint, the free throw, you're not going to beat Houston in those categories. And that's so they you know, that's where BYU had no shot.
All right, give me your Final Four, your championship game, and your winner at this point.
Yeah, I've got Duke making a Final Four. I've got Houston making a Final Four. I have Michigan State beating Auburn in the Elite Eight to make the Final Four. And then I had Texas Tech making the Final Four just because I won't go into it. I really like that team. I think they're unique. I think they've got a lot of different ways they can beat you. They can do some things that UConn did that created a little bit of a vulnerability for Florida. So I've got Texas Tech moving on there. And then I've got Houston playing Michigan State in the championship game. And I've got Houston cutting down the net.
You got Houston over Duke. That'd be a hell of a coaching matchup for sure. Chris, thanks. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, my pleasure. Anytime, Kevin.
Chris Spitola, everybody from ESPN and Sirius XM. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and the Team980.com.
Instacart is on a mission to have you not leave the couch this basketball season. Because between the pregame rituals and the postgame interviews, it can be difficult to find time for everything else. So let Instacart take care of your game day snacks or weekly restocks and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Because we hear it's bad luck to be hungry on game day. So download the Instacart app today and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants. Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for you, Denton Day. What's been the best move in free agency so far?
In free agency, I would say the Bengals keeping their guys. Does that count?
Yeah, that's a good one. That's an excellent one. I was thinking more about sort of the signings, but I think you're right. I mean, not that we didn't think they were going to keep Jamar Chase, and they haven't kept all their guys yet with Trey Hendrickson. I think the Rams, beyond just the signing, because I'm going to mention the signing in a moment, but keeping Matt Stafford and then adding Davante Adams, I think makes them, you know, along with Puka Nacua, what an incredible pairing at wide receiver with, you know, a high level, elite level quarterback. I'm actually surprised the odds don't reflect this, but I think it makes the Rams a major contender to Philadelphia, a major threat to Philadelphia in the NFC. You know, we've talked about who's the number one threat to Philadelphia in the NFC. And I'd like to think that certainly Washington is in the conversation. I think they are in the conversation. I still think Detroit's in the conversation. I can't include Minnesota in the conversation because I don't even know who their quarterback will be. I think that Green Bay is certainly good enough to be in the conversation roster-wise, but the Rams join Detroit, Washington, and if you want to put Green Bay into that group, as the biggest threats to the favorite Philadelphia Eagles in the NFC.
The books still really love San Fran. It's really odd. It doesn't make sense. I'm pulling up a book now when Philly is plus 650. They're the clear favorite. Detroit is 950, and then San Francisco is 18-1. Washington and LA are 19-1 each. That doesn't make any sense to me.
It doesn't make any sense to me either, other than healthy, fully healthy. We know what they're capable of, you know, because they lost a couple of key people, but they still have, if they're healthy, Christian McCaffrey, Trent Williams, Kittle, you know, we'll see about Ayuk coming back. They still have Fred Warner. They still have Nick Bosa. They have superstar players on their roster. And I think last year, without the injuries, I mean, we know where they were picked last year before the season began. They were picked to win the NFC. So a year later, with a couple of different players, but still the core of their superstar players, it's about being healthy for them. You know, I do think it's interesting still that Aaron Rodgers is out there. I think it'll be Pittsburgh when all is said and done. But can we rule out San Francisco?
I don't know. I would feel comfortable saying that they're not, maybe not ruling them out, but I would definitely put them below Green Bay in the
No, I'm saying, can we rule out San Francisco for Aaron Rodgers?
Oh, for Aaron Rodgers? Yes. Yeah, I definitely think you can.
Why? They haven't signed Brock Purdy yet.
They have not signed Brock Purdy yet, but do you really think that the two egos of Aaron Rodgers and Kyle Shanahan can exist in the same place for more than 10 minutes?
I don't know. It's the perfect offense, obviously, for him.
It is. But like
him back.
Aaron Rodgers, the player, works great in a lot of different places. Aaron Rodgers, the person, does not.
Yeah. That's a good question. I don't know. I mean, those are two huge egos, no doubt.
Especially
by the way,
if there
Smith's
was like real
big
beef,
ego, from what I've been told. Yeah, I'm sorry,
was,
go ahead.
If there was real beef between Rodgers and Salah. Salah's Shanahan's
there wasn't,
boy.
Though.
I'm pretty sure
there
he's
wasn't.
Back there. You don't think there was beef
Have you
there?
Read some of the stuff about Aaron Rodgers and the Jet organization?
I have not, but I saw him stiff-arm a hug. You know who I've ever stiff-armed a hug from? Someone that I don't like.
A lot of the reporting is that Aaron Rodgers got along with everybody and that the organization really liked Aaron Rodgers. And everybody in it really liked him. Now, some of the shenanigans pulled leading up to it and during it, whatever, from afar look bad, but that's not what Jet reporters have reported on in terms of how it went with players in the locker room and, you know, upper management, et cetera. But back to the Rams for a moment, because, you know, Davante Adams, 2 years, what was it, $40-something million? That is a great signing for the LA Rams. That is... If you believe, and I know you believe this, and I'm not disagreeing with you, that Cooper Kupp was a shell of his former self, not to mention not available a lot, and that it's a very much a declining player. We have not seen the decline of Davante Adams yet at, what, 31, 32 years old. Davante Adams still gets separation at an elite level. And with a great court, he played great at the end of last year with Aaron Rodgers. What's he going to be like with Stafford and with Nacua, with Kyron Williams? Remember, they re-signed their offensive lineman, Alaric Jackson. This is the team that I don't understand why odds makers don't have them higher up on the board in the NFC.
It has to be something that they just don't believe that Stafford will be healthy. Because I'm in agreement with you. Like, some of the teams that are up there, I mean, the four AFC teams are always going to be up there. As long as it's Mahomes, Jackson, Allen, Burrow, as long as those are the quarterbacks, they're always going to be high in the mix. But outside of that, like, I can't, it is tough to make a claim with Los Angeles, knowing that their division is not very good. So it feels like they should be able to get themselves a home playoff game from the jump, potentially a bye, depending on how things go in the NFC East with this team in Philly. It feels like they do have a very good route to a home playoff game. And then with the talent that they have there, with Nacua, with Kyren Williams, not Brian Robinson, Kyren Williams, they have a lot of, there are a lot of boxes that are checked. And they happen to score huge by getting two great defensive ends in the same draft class.
Oh,
like, they
God.
Got their future.
Their youth and their talent defensively is off the charts.
I thought they were going to be like this long extended period in the post-Aaron Donald world where they were getting run through like the Saints when Rob Ryan was the defensive coordinator, and they got Fisk and then Jared Verse in one. They had like a bad defense for a year and a half, and now they're great again.
Yeah, I'm looking at just across the board six, seven shops right now. The Rams are consistently the fifth or the sixth odds choice in the NFC. It's Philly, Detroit, then Washington, then San Francisco. San Francisco is ahead of Washington in a lot of spots. Then it's the Packers and the Rams. The Rams are ahead of the Packers in a few spots. I mean, what's interesting about that, like, you know who has had a pretty good offseason is Tampa. Now, they lost to Washington in a playoff game, but they're I don't know why they're way down the list. I've seen the Bears in front of them, even the Cowboys in front of them.
Well, remember, they got a new offensive coordinator. So that's Baker true. Mayfield's going to be learning legitimately.
But Detroit's
like
got two
eighth.
New coordinators, and they are, you know, right now I'm looking at multiple spots where Philadelphia is plus 300, basically, on average to win the NFC, and the Lions are basically plus 400.
I see him plus 480, so a little bit more of a discrepancy. Yeah. But Baker Mayfield's going to be learning, like, his eighth NFL offense. That's not even an exaggeration. I think the number is actually, it's either eight or nine. It's an insane amount of offensive coordinators that he has cycled through over his career.
Yeah. I don't know. To me right now, I would handicap Philly as a large favorite, followed by Washington and Detroit basically neck and neck. And then it would be the Rams for me, ahead of the 49ers and the Packers. The Rams wouldn't be that far behind Washington and Detroit. I'm still going to go, Washington's got to be in that spot where they are, if not higher, because they've got, I believe, and I think a lot of people believe, the best quarterback in the NFC. You know, ESPN put out their power rankings yesterday, their updated, you know, off-season power rankings, and Washington was sixth in the NFL. And it was Philly and Detroit who were ahead of them in the NFC. It was actually KC won. I'd have Philly won. I don't know how you put KC won in the power rankings after what we saw in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, that's kind of nuts. Added like nothing. It's not like they went out and got a game-breaking wide receiver either. They haven't added a ton.
I definitely would have Philly won, followed by KC. They had KC 1, Philly 2, Detroit 3, Buffalo 4, Baltimore 5, Washington 6. They did have the Rams as the next NFC team after the Bengals at 7. So, got a lot of time to assess and handicap the NFC race. But, the other thing with the Rams, did you see Puka Nacua saying that he's going to retire at 30? You know, he's only 23 years old right now. It seems like he should be older because...
Yes, I was going to make the same thing. I know where you're going with the joke you're about to make, and I was going to make the same joke.
No, I don't even know what... I wasn't going to make a joke. What did you think I was going to say?
I was going to say that coming out of BYU, I thought the man was 30 years old
right,
already.
Exactly. One of the reasons I thought he was older was because he was out of BYU, and it just seems like every BYU rookie in any sport is 26 years old because they got to go on the mission, and then they got to come back and the whole thing. But he's 23. He's going to be 24 for next season, and he just announced out of the blue, "I'm going to retire at 30." I mean, hey, dude, let's get. He's great. Like he is a star wide receiver in the game. He is big. He is physical. He is a hands catcher. He is a great route runner. I mean, I don't think NFL fans, casual NFL fans, realize how good Puka Nacua is. Now, for him, the key is to be available because he missed a bunch of games last year. But the combination of him and Devontae Adams, but it's like he announced he's going to retire at 30 at 23 years old. Let's just hope that you have 6-7 really good years left, you know, hopefully. All right, I want to play something for you guys when we come back. The NCAA portal for basketball, transfer portal, opened up yesterday as we are on the verge of the Sweet 16. And Tom Izzo, at a presser yesterday, was asked about it, and his answer was great. You'll hear it next.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50. Code LISTEN50.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through 2 cartons in 1 day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
All right. Tom Izzo's Michigan State team. Actually, they got a tough matchup, I think. I think Ole Miss and Chris Beard, who is just flat out a great basketball coach, wins everywhere he goes. I think that's a tough matchup for them on Friday night. But what we have going on in college basketball right now is that the transfer portal opened up on Monday. It seems ridiculous, and it is, that you've got players and programs making decisions, and as our guest Chris Spadola said earlier this hour, it really penalizes the teams that have made it to the Sweet 16. Not that they can't multitask, not that they aren't involved in recruiting players in the portal, etc., but they're focused on trying to win a national championship right now, trying to win a Sweet 16 game. It's absurd that this portal doesn't open up when the season ends. But for whatever reason, the NCAA doesn't get much right, and I don't think they've gotten this one right. But Tom Izzo, the forever coach at Michigan State, was asked about this yesterday. Here's what he said.
I got 15, 16 guys that have just accomplished something that hasn't been done much in my career. First of all, we've never won 17 Big Ten games. Second of all, to be 17-3 in a league that is this good and only have three losses is phenomenal. Third of all, they've given me everything they can academically, athletically, and socially. And I'm going to think about replacing them. I've recruited the guys. They helped me recruit the guys who recruit. Nobody knows. And by the way, there's not a lot of recruiting done in the transfer portal. It's offering. There's not recruiting. It's pain. And we don't even know how these people are doing it. We don't even know what we can do yet. This is an amazing deal. And again, I'm going to apologize to you, but I am ticked off that you asked me that right now, because I think you just cheated me. So if I keep talking, I cheat my players. And I'll cheat myself before I'll cheat my players. So, if you got another question about the transfer portal, I can lift you a lot of schools. You can call and ask them. They might have the better opinion than me. But me, I'm homed in on Ole Miss. I might even call Mr. Manning and figure out something that I don't know about that place. And that's all I want. Chris Beard, what he's done has been incredible. But what my team's done has been incredible. And I'm not ready to move on. So, Judd, I've followed what you said. I'm going to worry today about the guys I got in this program that have done an incredible job this year. And that's it. And if that costs me later, so be it. But Tom Izzo isn't cheating the people that he has that have been loyal to him for this chaos that is going on out there. Is that cool? You got enough? Because you don't understand. When I came back Sunday night, that was it. There was nothing on my mind but giving these guys a chance to win one more game, get to Elite Eight, and one more game, and have a memory that'll last their entire life, their kids' life, and their grandkids' life. Because that's what it is. And so excuse me for being passionate about it or pissed off about it, whichever words you want to use. But I'm not going to talk about it because it's not fair. It's not fair to the people. You could say it's fair to your program. I'll run my program like I want to run my program. And people have a disagreement with that, God bless them. But these guys that gave me everything they could give me are going to have a chance. And I'm not going to screw it up by spending any time on other stuff other than, I don't eat, I don't sleep right now, so why in the hell would I do something else that might benefit me a year from now? And really, it's not going to benefit me now because I don't know what I have. I don't know how much money I have. I don't know which players are leaving or staying. I don't have any idea. So why would I do that? Waste of time. All right, let's get back to some good things. That's not insulting. I'm not mad at you. I mean, I kind of am, but I'm not really. But I think you should know me well enough. But I learned from Stephen A. and some, You have the right to ask the question.
That's why I asked today.
Yeah. But today is, don't say it that way. Just say I asked the question. Because today doesn't matter any more than Friday to me. This is a full week of work. I got three teams to prepare for. Okay? Because that's what we do. We try to win the weekend. Winning one game and losing the other doesn't turn me on. Doesn't excite me. But the weekend, that excites me.
Appreciate it. So that was Tom Izzo. Yesterday. I mean, it went on for a while. So I love Izzo. I think he's one of my all-time favorite coaches to watch. I think it's absolutely stupid that the portal opens while the NCAA tournament is going on. And at the same time, with the utmost of respect intended towards a Hall of Fame coach, he gets paid nearly $7 million a year. You can do more than one thing at the same time. And that's what happens in life everywhere. You know, a CEO has, a massive responsibility to, trying to get some big new hire or trying to close some big account. At the same time, he's thinking about a lot of other things and doing a lot of other things. And these programs, you have, you know, they are, by the way, handling the portal. He may have other people involved in doing it. And again, it's stupid that they open it up now. There's nothing that is out there in terms of descriptions as to why it's opening up during the tournament that make any sense whatsoever. They could hold it off for another week and a half and open it up on, 2 days after Championship Monday, on that Wednesday or whatever, after the final two game is played. Which, again, is only a week and a half later. You know, this tournament basically is three weekends. That's it. That makes no sense. But, my God, these guys get paid an absolute fortune, and things change in life. They change in business. They change in sports. And you either, have the sort of, at this point, the ability to walk away if you don't like it, or you adapt. He's doing pretty well. This portal isn't a new thing. They're in the Sweet 16 again. The dude's been in it forever over the years. I mean, he has coached since 1995-96. He made the NIT his first two seasons and hasn't missed the NCAA tournament since. They'll figure it out. All these coaches can figure it out for the money that they are earning, More than one thing can be done simultaneously. Doesn't change the fact that it is really dumb because it takes a little bit of the focus off of the tournament for some college basketball fans. And it does, to a certain degree, put the teams that are still in the field that have had the most success, which is why they're still playing, at a bit of a disadvantage. Love Izzo, love the rant, but at the same time, figure it out. That these are the rules. For $7 million a year, you can do more than one thing simultaneously well. Everybody else in life gets asked to do more than one thing at the same time as well. All right, done for the day. Back tomorrow. Maryland, Florida tomorrow night. We'll certainly preview the game and probably give you guys a chance to weigh in with predictions.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
Hey, I'm Tank Sinatra here with my co-host,
Investigator Slater.
And together, we host the true crime podcast, Psychopedia.
It's true crime infused with comedy.
Making it a crimedy.
Available on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to your podcasts.